Welcome to the Seeds Church podcast. Be sure to follow and subscribe to us on Facebook, Instagram, YouTube, and on our Apple and Spotify podcasts. We hope you enjoy this inspiring message from our Sunday service.
Well, friends, I'm going to read the Bible to you from Philippians. If you've got your Bibles, you'd like to open them up because I'm going to be preaching from this passage. Philippians 1, 1 to 11. And it won't help you, but in my Bible, it's page 1275. That's just a little joke. Here we go, Philippians 1. Paul and Timothy, servants of Christ Jesus, to all God's holy people in Christ Jesus at Philippi, together with the overseers and deacons, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. I thank my God every time I remember you. In all my prayers for all of you, I always pray with joy because of the partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about you, since I have you in my heart. And whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight, so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ to the glory and praise of God. Well, friends, if you were here the other Friday night, you would have seen all the baptisms at Excess. And over the next couple of weeks, we plan to show you excerpts from those baptisms, the highlight reels of those baptisms. And I want to say, you know, this represents the work of all of us. This represents who we are as a church. But if you've given, if you've served, if you've prayed, if you've pushed into the life of this church, then this is all our celebration. This is who we are. And this is the joy that comes from serving Jesus in the life of a church. So have a look at these baptisms. And even if you are home by yourself, why don't you applaud when these are done?
Hey everyone, I'm Hamish. I'm year 11. I'll start at the beginning. Growing up, I went to church every Sunday, and church meant it was time to make crafts and memorise verses. But as things got in the way, such as footy and basketball, I went to church less, and therefore a chance for a relationship with God had no room to grow. This is just how it was for me a few years ago. To understand why I'm being baptised tonight, I have to take you back to about February last year. High school starts, and I choose that I really want to do better. 1.5 months pass, and the family is having a nice chat in the family room. Once most had gone to bed, it was just myself and my dad left up. This was the night I told my dad I wanted to permanently end the negative thoughts that filled my head. A month later, I was diagnosed with anxiety and depression. In the year of 2021, there were nights where I was so scared that I prayed to God to help me, but in response, I felt more distant from him. This caused me to deny a relationship with God, and it made me not like him. At Easter camp, I had a chat with a leader, and she asked me where my faith was at. I said, I want to learn to love God and have a relationship with him, just like my friends do, but I'm not ready to forgive him for the distance I thought he had built. That Saturday night, we were told that faith begins with forgiveness, and after being prayed for by many people, words from three people specifically stuck out to me. Mandy Neal, Pat Rohr, and Paul Newbury said to me that I'm good enough for a relationship with God, and that I'm good enough even though I thought I wasn't. And I realised that night that what's the point in carrying the burden of the pain I had built up against God? What's the point in fighting? So I prayed to him and said, this fight between us has been a waste of time. I believe he smiled and nodded and then told me to prove it, and that's exactly what I'm doing tonight. Baptisms for me are committing to God, and I'm choosing to get baptised tonight because I'm ready for a relationship with God.
Hamish, I'll ask you those same questions. Hamish, you admit that you've sinned and are in need of a saviour.
I do.
You now promise with the power of the Holy Spirit to try to live as a follower of Jesus.
I do.
Who's your saviour?
Jesus is my saviour.
Who's your Lord?
Jesus is my Lord.
Will you serve the Church of Jesus?
I will.
Family and friends, if you're able, bit of a workout tonight. Family and friends, will you support and encourage Hamish to live as a follower of Jesus?
Yeah.
Fantastic. You can take a seat. Come on to the front. Hamish, I now baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son and the Holy Spirit.
Hi, I'm Matilda and I'm a new age. And throughout my relationship with Jesus, there was no real moment where I felt like, wow, I'm a Christian now. My whole life has been a journey of faith since I've grown up in a Christian home. That's not to say that God has never made his presence known to me. There have definitely been times where God has moved. As I've grown up, I was a lukewarm Christian. There was no way to sugarcoat it. I came to youth on a Friday and church on a Sunday, and there was a casual YouVersion plan, but no real commitment or substance. I was more just ticking the boxes. I still had a relationship with Jesus. It was just a bit of a blow the dust away as you take the Bible off the shelf kind of one. I came to youth every Friday, God would move, I would go home on a high, then Saturday would come and sport, school and life would take over. I constantly compared myself to others, thinking, they're a better Christian than me, or at least I'm doing better than them. I then began to find meaning in the saying I'd heard many times before, we are all broken and we all need Jesus. I never really thought about what my story was. That was until there was one time at Access. I remember very clearly we were doing the prayer rotations, and one of the rotations was to write our testimony. I had no idea what to write. I just sat there the whole time thinking, what was my story? I'd always thought that a testimony had to be something miraculous happening and everyone was amazed. But I've realised that my life is a miracle. The blessings God has given me, privileges, my friends and family, and God's ability to work through me. Because God has forgiven me and accepted me into his family, I want Jesus in my life. Not because I'm good enough, but because I'm not. And I need God to work through me to minister to the people in my life that do not know him. Because at the end of the day, we all need Jesus.
Matilda, I now baptise you in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit.
And so, speaking of our young people, I want to welcome a new staff member to our paid staff team. Her name is Yasmin Shimowski, and she is taking on the role of Connections and Communication Coordinator, Complex and Communications Coordinator. If I read my notes, it'll be right. How good is God to provide exactly the right people that we need to staff our church? And so, if you hang around the church in the next few weeks, you'll see Yasmin as she fulfills her role. And then lastly, before I pray, I want to say this. I want to say next week, are you listening to this? Next week, you have to be tuning in to what we're doing. You have to be tuning in to what we're doing. Why do I say that? Because it's where we are releasing, in faith, where we're releasing the name of the suburb, the location of where we're planting our new church. So tune in for that next week. Let me lead you in prayer. Lord, we pray that you would speak to us in this moment. Open our hearts to hear your voice and our minds to perceive what you're doing. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So I want to talk to you today in a way that will lift your eyes to the activity of God. I want you to know the past, the present, and the future activity of God at Seeds Church. What God has, what God is, and what God will do amongst us. Some of you will be surprised to know that this is, for me, it's just on 7.5 years since I've been senior pastor of this church. You know, we've come a long way in such a short time. And in a few weeks' time, I'll be on long service leave, handing over the reins to Nick and to our competent team that we have as part of who we are as Seeds. If you just indulge me, lots of people have been asking me what my plans are during long service leave, and just save me answering this question 500 times. Let me just say it here. I'm planning some trips to the outback, interstate, and a whole heap of farm work on my little property. I'm also planning to make space and listen carefully to what the Spirit is saying to our church and to me about who I need to be when I come back at the end of November. So I'm going to try and disentangle myself from one of my biggest addictions, and that is my phone and the constant communication that comes through my phone. So I will be deliberate as possible in removing myself from as many contact points that I have. So in not replying to your message to one of the many mediums that I have open and people can communicate with me, please don't be offended. Why is that? Because I need desperately to hear the voice of the Spirit more than the ding of a phone. I'm going to do that for a bit, and so I'm going to turn my phone off for quite a while. Please contact the office if you need pastoral help or anything else. The team will be more than capable to serve you and help you and to be who we are as church. The bedrock of our church is hearing the voice of Jesus. And the moment we sway from this, we go away from this, is the moment we lose our sense of identity and our purpose. Jesus is the reason for our existence, the sole purpose in our vision, the core of who we are as our faith. We continue in our shared purpose of bringing people to Jesus and being transformed into his passionate disciples. So let's engage with who Jesus is. And I want to lead you in that today. So Philippians 1:1-11. You heard me read that out a little bit earlier. This is what I want to talk to you about. And so hopefully you've still got your Bibles open. And I'm going to be specifically talking about verse 6. Verse 6 tells us four distinct things, four promises for who we are and where we are going. So let me give you these in 4 points after I've reread verses 3 to 6. Verse 3. I thank my God every time I remember you in all my prayers for all of you. I pray always with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Now here's verse 6. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion unto the day of Christ Jesus. Now I love verse 6. And if you've heard me around the place, you hear me quote it often. So here, let me give you the 4 points that we've got going here. Firstly, confident. That's the first point. Confident of this. I love the certainty that the Apostle Paul brings to the church in Philippi. It's a deliberate choice of words to lead the reader, that's us, in no doubt as to God's mind over this matter. The Message translation renders it somewhat dynamic. There's never been the slightest doubt in my mind, says the Apostle Paul, verse with the Message translation. In other words, the Apostle Paul is convinced that God is active in this situation and that God will follow through on his promises. What promises are they? The ones that come to the church being as part of the children of God, the ones that come down from Israel that now apply to the church as the people of God who are the church of God. My friends, we can have great confidence in the promises of God for us. We too can be assured of the love and the energy, the gaze, the passion, the commitment, the attention of God for us. That is for us. We're not orphans. We're not left alone. We're not left to our own devices. We're not abandoned. We don't have to muddle our way through. We can be confident that God is for us, even you. As it says in the book of Romans chapter 8, what can then be against us? Nothing, of course. Nothing is against us. And it's about this point. If Mark Elford was preaching, he'd be jumping up and down, even if he was sitting down, because it's so exciting. There's so much good news here. God is for us. Confidence in God is a sure thing. Let me say that again. Confidence in God is a sure thing. And even if you think it, God will never let you down. You might not understand it. You might be confused by it. You might be perplexed. You might be disappointed, but you will never, ever be let down by God. Mark my words. The time will tell the truth of my words. You know, it's true that increasingly we live in a world where confidence is eroded. I mean, who's not jaded by politicians? Who's not jaded by the legal system or our welfare and ancillary systems, particularly this week? Our energy systems. Even our supply chains have issues, and we have no confidence that we can get what we need when we need it. And so to proclaim that we have confidence in God runs against our culture, yet it's true. And history, time and time again, has proven that God can be trusted with your life. Test me. See if I'm wrong. Now, there might be some here today who need to hear this and who have heard what God is saying to them in life, but are doubting that God will lead them or that God will let them down, doubting that God will support them or that God will guide them. Then this is for you. You can have the confidence that God will do what he says he will do. And if he's calling you, he will lead you. You know, if you look back on the last 45 years of Seed's history, we can have confidence that God has had us. Have we had tough times? Of course we have. We've lost loved ones. Some of those loved ones have gone far too young. We've had turmoil and hardship and heartache and pain, but confident that through all of this, God will lead us, help us, catch us, provide for us. That's the truth. Here's my second point. A second point is began. Being confident of this, says Philippians 1 verse 6, being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you. So with the confidence that we have in God, the text tells us that God has begun a good work. If you just look around, you can see this is true. God has begun a good work in and through and all around us. You know, at the front office, if you come here, or if you want to purchase one, we can send you one. There's a small book for sale that has the history of Seeds, all recorded. And one of our founding members, Jeff Simpson, carefully and graciously, with incredible insight, put this all together. And it tells us that God has begun a good work in us. It tells us this was not someone's good idea, a work of human inspiration, but rather the power of the Spirit using people, using the church to bring about the life, a life of a vital and a thriving church. So we're here today as a church online or in person, soon another location, because God has begun a good work in us. God has brought the vision into being through his willing servants. And the fact is that God has already begun in us two other churches which have started from scratch, and we've helped many other churches along the way. There's so many beginnings that this church has had. Our past is who we are and where we've come from. Our past is one of blessing and nurture, of direction, of grace. It's being protected by Jesus, and we are his church. So why am I labouring this point? It's because God has begun this work. I want you to hear that, to feel that, to know that. God did this. God brought this into being. Yes, he used his servants, absolutely. And they gave and they worked sacrificially. But our roots are way down deep bedrock in who God is. God was using all those who were joining with him, what he was doing here. God started our light that burns on this hill. God dug deep the well of water that we have. God brought the seed to make it grow. Third point. My third point, let's talk about it now to carry on. It's the present. That's what we're talking about. You and I, we all know this. We all know this very well, the present. And the promise of this verse extends to this moment that we are standing in right now. He that began a good work in you will carry it on. In other words, what began then is still active now. How faithful is our God? We haven't had to do anything to deserve this, nothing to earn it, no way we can demand it. Yet God promises to fill in to our present. I can never get my head around that the King of the universe would bother with us. Sometimes we think that God is really just a God of the past, as if we can believe that God worked way back then, or even last year. But we've seen the struggle that God can work now, especially in our lives now. But that's not what this verse says. It says that he will carry on the work that he's begun, a work that the Apostle Paul has great confidence that God will do. So I wonder, can you see the signs of God working now? Can you sense the presence of the Spirit? Can you perceive the face of Jesus around us in the face of others? When someone serves another in the name of Jesus because they love Jesus, then God is here amongst us. When someone gives sacrificially to the work of God here, then you can see it too. When someone shares the hope they have, when another welcomes a stranger, when another invites, when someone listens, when someone prays in faith, when someone uses their gifts, when someone cares and hopes and believes and wrestles in prayer, then you know God is at work in us, carrying the work on. The beginning work is being carried on. And don't we see God's handwork in miraculous ways? We do. You know, there have been healings at Seeds. There have been words of knowledge. There's been discernment. There's been encouragement. There's been deliverance and freedom. There's been evangelism and growth, and chains have been broken. Do you know, forgiveness has been found by people who've engaged with the work of Seeds. Has not gathered worship been wonderful? Has not our freedom in praising God increased? And sometimes, doesn't that just feel like heaven is just a breath away? If you cannot see God at work in this place, either you're not looking the right things, or you don't want to see it. God is moving. God is moving amongst us, even now, even today, even through this. Here's my fourth and last point. The day of completion, which is the future. Lastly, verse 6 again, being confident of this, that he that began a good work in you will carry it on to completion in the day of Jesus Christ, or Christ Jesus. The day of completion could mean here the day when, could mean that day when Jesus brings all things to a head, that every eye will see and every knee will bow, that he is Lord over all things. It means that everything is done, everything is finished, everything concluded, and it's final, all wrapped up. What we're being told here is that this day of conclusion is when everything is ended. And the promise is that God will, from beginning to middle to end, do his work in, through, and around us. Romans 8 again. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing is the answer. We are assured that our past, our present, and our future is all in God's hands. If that does not give you a warm feeling, I don't know what will. So, what is God's plans for us as we step into this future? Let me give you my best discernment. And it's very simple. Very simple. My best discernment for us going forward into 2023. Some of the things that I believe we should put in place. Some of the things, God willing, will come into being. You've heard me talk about discipleship over and over again in this last year. And I've written about it in the weekly email. I've spoken about it online or in person, in services. I've shared with various groups all about this. I believe, here it is, I believe God wants us to be disciples who make disciples. And in 2023, I believe we should focus on discipleship. Disciples who make disciples. Please don't miss what I just said. I believe this is what we should focus on. Disciples who make disciples. My friends, we don't have an evangelism problem as a church. We don't have a giving problem as a church, a serving problem as a church, a volunteer problem, a leadership problem, a hospitality problem, a time problem as a church. We have a discipleship problem. Remember my definition of discipleship? Hearing God and obeying God. I also want to get really practical with how we do this and how we are disciples who make disciples. I want us to know how this works, and I want to teach into some simple steps, and this is coming this year and into next year. I want us to see how God is working around us too, how God has put people in front of us, and how we can join in with what God is doing. This is what we're going to spend the majority of from here and right through to the end of next year doing. I want us to see a part in what God is up to in our suburb, in our friends, in our families, in our workplaces, all around us. And I want us to partner with what God is doing. Disciples who make disciples. You see, the big thing that we have to constantly wrestle with is that we exist as a church for more than ourselves. We exist as a church for more than ourselves. That our shared life, while it gives us joy and meaning, is actually bigger than just our shared life. We exist to grow in ourselves. Of course, we're meant to be better than and different than who we are when we first engage with Jesus, and to join in what God is doing around us, and to help others to know and to grow into this God. When we do this, when we enable others to grow, when we grow ourselves, when we join in and we grow all those around us in our suburb and our workplaces, we give glory to God. It's bringing people to Jesus and being transformed into his passionate disciples. That's what we're about. To do this, we need to risk. We need to risk that God has called us, that God is leading us, to have courage that God is with us, and to have faith that God has gone before us, past, present, and future, to be disciples who make disciples. I don't want you to forget that phrase. There's no reason why we can't be disciples at every level of our church, from our kids to our seniors, from what happens at Kid Ventures to the seniors bus trip, parents to singles, access to craft, all across the board, even going into men's shed. I want us to build a culture of discipleship in everything we do. So here's the bottom line. As Jesus called disciples back when it was written, he does so still today. And he commissions us to make more disciples. And that's how we hurt. We are the recipients of other people's discipleship, past and present. Let's do it now for others, for their future. Seeds has been blessed. Blessed beyond measures. If you've always grown up here, then with respect, you have no idea how good this place is. But it's not good enough to sit on the laurels of the past and its effect on the present. God is calling us forward into the future, a future of advancement, wonder, and seeing the hand of the Spirit. Matthew 28 tells us, go into all the world and make disciples. I believe we have more to do. More hills to take, more lives to touch, more forgiveness, more freedom, more deliverance, more renewal to experience. Honestly, my friends, we have not even seen the best of days yet. Let's be disciples who make disciples. And so let me finish with Philippians 1 and reading from the Message Translation, verses 3 to 6. Every time you cross my mind, I break out in exclamations of thanks to God. Each exclamation is a trigger to prayer. I find myself praying for you with a glad heart, and I'm so pleased that you have continued on with this, believing and proclaiming God's message from the day you heard it right up until the present. Here's verse 6. There's never been the slightest doubt in my mind that the God who started this great work in you will keep at it and bring it to a flourishing finish on the very day that Christ Jesus appears. Amen. Let me pray for you. Lord, I pray for my friends. Open their eyes, open their hearts. Lord, may you speak to them in beautiful and wonderful ways, ways that are helpful. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Well, thanks for listening to the Seeds Church podcast. We hope you join in with us next week. For more information, you can visit our website at seedschurch.org.